Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me on today's podcast. We are in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. And in the previous couple of episodes, we saw where Nathan the prophet was confronting David with his sin. The sin of Bathsheba, the sin of killing Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And so I want to go back a couple of verses here. Excuse me. Just got done with a couple of worship services and my voice is nearly shot. Verse 13. David responded, he said this, "Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin, and you shall not die." So that was the good news. David repented, and Nathan says, the Lord has taken away your sin, you're not going to die because of this. But then he continues, verse 14, "However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die." And we talked about it in the previous episode, but I want to hasten to remind us that this was not punishment to the child because of what David had done. Was the child unable to live out a full adult life? Yes. The child, we're about to find out, only lived a week or so. And, well, maybe longer than that. I shouldn't say it that way. Lived only a week after this proclamation. I'll put it that way. And so sometimes people want to look and say, well, you know, the child suffered because of what David did. Well, in a manner of speaking, yes, but no. No. The child is with the Most High God. There will be fruit to our sin. Okay? And so if someone is a sinner who's slothful, then their family usually bears the burden of that. They'll go hungry. They'll go without proper clothing, et cetera, that type of thing. But anyway, David is told that the child's going to die because what David had done gave an opportunity for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme God. Now, listen to what happens here. Verse 15. "So Nathan went to his house. Then the Lord struck the child that Uriah's widow bore to David so that he was very sick." What did David do? Verse 16, you could probably guess. "David therefore inquired of God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground." So we've seen repeatedly that when that David would inquire of the Lord. He did so here. He inquired of God for the child, interceded on behalf of the child. And he fasted, and he laid on the ground all night. Verse 17. "The elders of his household," as David, "stood beside him in order to raise him up from the ground. But he was unwilling and would not eat food with them." So his servants tried to get him to come, the elders of the household, the ones that could do this, tried to get him to eat, tried to get him to get up, and he wouldn't do it. Verse 18, "Then it happened on the seventh day that the child died." So apparently David was interceding in this way for 7 days. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to our voice. How then can we tell him that the child is dead, since he might do harm to himself?" So that gives us some insight into the depth of the intercession that David was bringing before the Lord, to the depth of the repentance. Verse 19, "But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David perceived that the child was dead. So David said to his servants, 'Is the child dead?' And they said, 'He is dead.' So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he came into the house and worshipped." Well, the house of the Lord. He came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. "Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate." And so you see what's happening here. Once he finds out that he had died, he arose, he washed himself, anointed himself, changed his clothes, and went to worship the Lord. Came into the house of the Lord. It's that same place where the ark is, where David had built a tent for him, in all likelihood, I think so. And he worshiped him. And then he comes home. And then when he requested, they brought food before him and he ate. Now, verse 21, the servants were just as confused as we likely are. Then his servant said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But when the child died, you arose and ate food." And it's actually sort of the opposite way of how those in the world act and react. Okay? You know, when somebody dies, then there's wailing and flailing and no eating and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. David responds in one of the most profound ways in all of Scripture right here. So I want you to hang on to this, okay? David said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. And I said, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live." You see this little "who knows" things at least a couple times. You see it here, 2 Samuel 12. See it in Joel chapter 2, I believe, where the prophet said, where David says, "Who knows? We don't know. Maybe the Lord will be gracious. Maybe the Lord will return and relent," is what Joel said. "Maybe the Lord will turn away from this. Who knows?" David said, "I didn't know, but maybe the Lord will be gracious to me that the child will live." Verse 23, "But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again?" Well, there is no reason to fast now that the child has died, now that it is apparent what the Lord's desire was in this situation. Can he bring him back? No. But listen to this. David says this, "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." That's sort of wild right there. Yes, "I will go to him." David's saying, "I will reach a point in time when I too will die." Yes. And he says, "But he will not return to me." So he wasn't expecting him to be resurrected and brought back to David. But the fact that he's going to him, that there is a him to go to, that there is life on the other side of death. See, for the true believer, there is no such thing as death. We just transition from this corporeal existence into eternity in the presence of the Lord. That can be said also for all humans, even those who aren't believers. You don't die and go into a state of annihilation. You go into eternal death, everlasting death and punishment in the lake of fire, but you never die. You never cease to exist. David says, "I'm going to go to him where he is." And in David's mindset, this would have been Sheol. "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." Then, last two verses here, verse 24. "Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba and went into her and lay with her. And she gave birth to a son, and he named him Solomon." He named him Solomon. Solomon means peace. He comforted his wife. This would have taken a period of time, folks. This all didn't happen one day, right? It'd been over time. But watch this. The end of verse 24 says this. "Now the Lord loved him," then verse 25, "and sent word through Nathan the prophet, and he named him Jedidiah for the Lord's sake." So did you know that Solomon had another name? A lot of times people don't know this. Okay. David named him Solomon, which means peace, because there was now peace. There was peace in the kingdom. There was peace within the household. There was peace and forgiveness for the sin that had been committed. But then it says that the Lord loved Solomon, and the Lord sent word to David through Nathan the prophet that the Lord names him Jedidiah. And Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord. Yeah, beloved of the Lord. You'll see that name Jedidiah used for female and male both. But he named him Jedidiah for the Lord's sake. You know, I want to start using Jedidiah more than Solomon, probably. We'll see. Well, again, thank you for your time. Hey, reflect upon this, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.